Good morning. There was once a man who fell off of a cliff, and on his way down from falling off that cliff, he grabbed on to a tree limb and hung there. Well, a fireman showed up on the same cliff that that man fell off of, and the man screamed out and said, "Is anyone up there?" The fireman came and replied back to him and said, "I am here. I'm the best fireman in this county. I have saved thousands of lives. Do you believe me?" The man said, "Yes, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hold on that much longer." "That's all right," said the fireman. "If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. All you have to do is let go of the branch." A long pause took place. And that same man who was holding on to that branch looked up and said, "Is anyone else up there?" That's sometimes how we treat God and His Word. He tells us to step out in obedient faith towards Him, and we don't want to do what He says. We would rather have an easier avenue in order to be saved. Well, long ago, there was a man by the name of Noah that many of you are aware of. Noah heard some words that God said to him that would have made almost anyone reply, "Is anyone else up there?" Noah heard some instructions from God that would have been hard to accept. He heard some words from God that were nearly unbelievable. But he didn't hesitate to have the faith that it took to please God. He didn't deny those nearly unbelievable words that he heard. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Last week in our series on the flood, we talked about the reason for the flood. Why did it happen? Well, we learned from Genesis 6 verses 1 through 7, as Danny brought out, that God looked down upon His creation and He saw that the inclination of mankind's heart was constantly evil. And this made God very sad. This made God so sad that He regretted even making man. And even more so, it says that God planned to destroy all living things from off the face of this planet. This was a very hopeless and very sad scripture to read. Things were not looking pretty good for Earth at this time. But then we see hope spring forth in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 6. So if you would, follow along with me as I read verses 8 through 9. "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God." This man Noah that we read about, he was different than everyone else who was on the face of the earth. You see, everyone else did not find favor in the eyes of the Lord, but Noah did. Everyone else was evil. They were unrighteous, but Noah was righteous. Everyone else had reasons to be blamed for. They had sin in their lives, but Noah was found blameless. And everyone else walked with the ways of the world, the ways of sin, but Noah walked with God. If there was any man who could help continue the human race, Noah was that man. He was the only man. After this, in the verses that follow, verses 10 through 21, we see God command Noah to build an ark. And He gets very detailed about the way that He wants things done. We see in verse 14 that this ark was to be built of gopher wood, whatever that is. We don't really know what that is, but it was something back then. In verse 14, we also see that there were to be rooms in this ark and that He was to cover the inside and outside with pitch. We see that it had certain dimensions it was supposed to fulfill. It was supposed to be 300 cubits long and 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits deep. In verse 15, we see that He was to make a roof and a door and three different decks, three different levels for animals to live on. In verse 16, and then we continue reading in verses 19 through 21, and we see that He was to bring one male and one female of every living thing onto that ark so that they could preserve their seed and live on once again. We learn here that God is a God of details. He didn't just tell Noah, hey, I'm going to send this flood. You should probably build like a boat or something. He didn't say that to Noah. He got very specific. He told him precisely what he wanted done. If you ever think that God's details, if you ever think that the commandments that he gives us, that those don't really matter, read this account. Details matter. Details matter, and our faith needs to not just be in the big picture of God's plans, but also in the details. So how did Noah respond to these very detailed commandments? If you look in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, this is what it says. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Noah didn't try to build a little sailboat that would have taken a lot less time. Noah didn't try to cut corners or find some other kind of wood besides gopher wood. Noah did every single thing that God commanded him. In the next chapter, Genesis chapter 7, this is repeated. In Genesis 7 verses 1 through 4, we see God command Noah and his family to get in the ark after it is completed. And they're also commanded to bring 7 pairs of the clean animals onto the ark. And notice what verse 5 says. It says, and after this, Noah did all that the Lord had commanded. Let's flip to the New Testament for just a little bit to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We read here a New Testament verse that looks back on this whole account of Noah and building the ark and the flood. Hebrews 11 verse 7 reads, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. This text comes in the middle of the great faith chapter, the faith hall of fame, if you will. And we see here that Noah did everything that was commanded of him. He didn't just do it, he did it by faith. He put into action that which he believed to be true, that which he knew to be true. And because he put those things into action, he became an heir of righteousness. So in looking at all these texts that you see on the board and that we have read this morning so far, what can we learn about the great faith of Noah? First, I think we can learn from the great faith of Noah that Noah had a faith that feared. Let's read Hebrews 11, verse 7 again, and I want you to notice a specific phrase that is used here. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Notice here that Noah had a reverent fear. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a fear of God? We hear that a lot. Fear God. But what does that mean? Well, in some ways, fearing God does deal with being afraid of what God can actually do to you. In Jeremiah 5, verse 22, it says, do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? In Luke 12, verses 4 through 5, Jesus said, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Then Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But in another sense, fearing God has to do with reverence. It has to do with the respect that one has towards God. It is being awestruck by the mighty works that God has done and that he will do. Consider the following verses. Habakkuk 3, verse 2. Habakkuk says, O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk here, he respected and he was in awe of the mighty works of the Lord. In 1 Peter 2, verse 17, we have instructions that say, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Here in that verse where it says fear God, that Greek word for fear can mean to honor something or to give respect to. So when you look back at Hebrews 11 verse 7 where it says that Noah constructed this ark in reverent fear, in one sense, he was afraid of the coming judgment. He was afraid of the coming flood, because that would be really bad. But in another sense, he had great reverence for God. He had great respect for the works that God did. But how did Noah know to fear the Lord? Well, I believe part of the reason why Noah learned to fear the Lord is because he was taught by those whom he grew up with. Think about this. When you look at the chapter before the flood story, Genesis 5, you have a list of generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations. In that list, you have 6 specific men that I'm going to read real quick. If I pronounce them wrong, I apologize. Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah, and Lamech. You see, those 6 guys, Noah lived during some of the time of those 6 guys in that generation. But those 6 guys also lived during some of the time as Adam, the first human being ever created. I believe that Noah knew about God's judgments. Noah knew about God's mighty works because he was taught about those mighty works and those judgments from those 6 men. And he was also taught by hearing stories from Adam and from Seth that were passed down to him. A great lesson that we can learn here is that we can learn to fear God more and more by listening to and respecting those words that come from those who are older than us and wiser than us. Remember that this morning. So put yourself in the shoes of Noah, or the place of Noah. I don't know if he wore shoes. But put yourself in the place of Noah. Imagine being there when that flood started up. You have water coming up out of the deep. You have water pouring out of the sky. As Genesis 7, 11, 12 tells us, it did that for 40 days straight. 40 days. That's like a month and a half. It's a long time. If you remember back in May, parts of Oklahoma and Texas had great flooding. In fact, in May, I believe there was a stretch of 12 days where it rained nearly continuously. Rivers and lakes overflowed, roads caved in, houses were demolished, and sadly, some people even lost their lives by drowning. But even during that time in May, during those floods, it wasn't raining nonstop. And even during those 12 days, there wasn't water coming forth out of the deep. If it was a fearful sight to see the floods in Oklahoma and Texas this year, and it was, I guarantee you that once the flood came upon the entire earth during the time of Noah, many men's hearts burst forth in trepidation. There was a lot of fear when people saw the destructive nature of water. But Noah was different, wasn't he? See, Noah, he had great reverent fear to move with faith long before he saw with his own eyes that fearful sight. And we as Christians, we need to have the reverent fear to move with faith long before we see the day of judgment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read about Jesus coming back with his mighty angels and flaming fire, seeking out vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. The last day, the day of judgment, is going to be a very fearful day. Do you see that fearful day with the eyes of faith? Or are you going to wait until that day comes to be afraid of it? See, Noah looked long ahead at those days of the flood with eyes of faith. May we be like him. Remember that Noah first had an overflowing faith that feared. Second, Noah had a faith that focused. Noah needed continual focus to get the task done to which he was assigned. See, a lot of what Noah was told to do or told about was unseen. He couldn't see these things. First of all, he didn't see God who is telling him to do these things. In fact, the Bible tells us that no one has ever seen God. John 1, verse 18. Second, up until that time, it's very possible that Noah had never even seen a raindrop. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 through 6, it reads, God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Third, Noah possibly didn't even live near a body of water in which building a massive boat would even make sense. Fourth, I guarantee you that Noah had not seen every single animal in existence at that time. Fifth, he probably had never seen a flood in his life, or if he did, it was probably rather small from the water coming up from the deep. And sixth and finally, he certainly had never seen a boat quite as massive as the one that he was told to build. A lot of what God told Noah dealt with the unseen. And that's a huge part of faith, right? Focusing on that which we cannot see. Hebrews 11 verse 1 reads, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Are you convicted and convinced by things that are not seen? Some of you here may recognize the name of a lady whose name is Florence Chadwick. In 1952, Florence was the first woman to attempt to swim the 26 miles between Catalina Island and the California shoreline. As she began this historical journey, she had boats on each side of her that would watch for sharks. She had boats on each side of her who were there for her if she grew tired or if she got hurt. Well, hour after hour, Florence swam to the California coastline. And about 15 hours of straight swimming, she grew very tired, and a thick, heavy fog set in. She turned to her mom, who was in one of the boats, and said, I don't think I can finish. Well, about an hour later, after she got to that 16th hour, she gave up. She couldn't continue. When she got back into the boat, they asked her why she couldn't continue, and she said, I just couldn't see in front of me. That fog was just way too thick. Then her mom told her, Did you realize that you were just 1 mile short of your goal? That made Florence think. And then about 2 months after that, Florence said, Hey, I'm going to try this again. So Florence got out there. The boats were there. Her mom was there. She swam from Catalina Island and made her way towards the shore of California. And then at about the same time in the same place, that same thick and heavy fog blinded her. She couldn't see in front of her. But guess what? The second time she finished, she made it to the shoreline of California. And afterwards, she was asked, What was it that caused you to finish? And this is what she said. She said she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind. She didn't lose sight of the shore because she focused on the image of the coast, even though she was not actually seeing it. Just like Florence, we need to have that focus on the unseen as though it is right in front of us. We need to focus on God's righteousness, Matthew 6:33, on heaven, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 2. We need to focus on Jesus, as Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 tells us. We need to focus on Jesus' death, as we just did in the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. We need to focus on the things of the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 5. On the day of judgment, 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13. We also need to focus on our own resurrection on the day of judgment, John 5, verses 28 through 29. Even though we have never seen any of these things, we are to focus. We are to have that working faith throughout our lives that keeps focus on what is truly worthy of focus. And we need to have focus not just on Sundays. We need to have focus not just on Wednesday nights. We need to have focus not just at VBS or at camp. We need to have focus throughout our entire lives, every day of the week, 24-7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 tells us that we as Christians, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Are you walking by faith? Are you focused? Do you have a focused faith this morning? I hope so. Remember that Noah had an overflowing faith that focused. Third and finally, because Noah had that faith that feared, and because Noah had a faith that focused, Noah was more able to have a faith that finished. Do you all realize that it took Noah around 100 years to finish building the ark? 100 years. This was not just some weekend project like tiling the bathroom or replacing the windows in your home. This was a huge undertaking that would have needed that continued focus that we talked about. In opposition to our proclivity to procrastinate, Noah had to get started soon, or else he wouldn't get the job done. Think about all of that financial cost that it would have taken for him, and all of that labor time that he had to put in to finish that ship. He had to be all in. He couldn't cut corners, but he had to listen to and obey everything that the Lord told him. He had to make great costs for the Lord in order to finish, and because he made great costs and because he finished, he was saved from destruction, him and his family. We also have to make great costs in our lives, don't we? To finish the race, as the Bible tells us. In Luke 14, verses 27 through 30, it reads, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, but he was not able to finish.'" If we are not making costs in our lives in order to obey the Lord more and more, we will not finish. We will not finish our spiritual towers, so to speak. And in the case of Noah, we won't finish our spiritual ships. We will not complete the plan that God has laid out for us in His Word. But God wants us to finish. Revelation 2, verse 10 says that we are to have great obedient faith up until the point that we die. It doesn't say have obedient faith until you're 30. It says be faithful unto death. Paul, near the end of his life, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he said this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Now, going back and thinking about the fact that Noah took around 100 years to complete the ark, do you also realize that Noah worked on this ark for an amount of time longer than most of us will live our entire lives? It's pretty amazing. He spent that long working hard on preparing a vessel of salvation. We should be very thankful for that. What's the longest you've spent on a project? How often do we give up when we start something? I know I do many times. It's easy for us to be gung-ho about something, get it going, and after about a week, we're like, I'll just stop right here. That's how it usually is with like New Year's resolutions, right? But we need to strive to continue working on our lives, to continue working on our spiritual lives. Do we grow in our faith by studying God's Word daily? Do we help bring up our children in the nurture and admonition and instruction of the Lord, which takes a long time? Do we have faith to withstand temptation, which usually doesn't take that long? If we are going to have a faith like Noah's, we must have a faith that finishes. You know that phrase, "Rome wasn't built in a day"? Well, the ark wasn't built in a day either. See, Noah had to first take those two pieces of wood, gopher wood, whatever that is, and put them together to start. And then eventually, as he added more boards and boards to that, he completed the task. In similar fashion, we need to start building our spiritual lives if we are ever going to finish. And remember that Noah did all that God commanded him. We read that in Genesis 6, verse 22 and 7, verse 5. Noah obeyed all the details because God is a God of details, and our faith needs to be in those details. Now, when we first become a Christian, God doesn't expect us to have obeyed every single thing that He has commanded us. But He does expect us to grow to that point. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now you may be saying, "Luke, surely God doesn't expect us to obey all that He has commanded us. I'm not the one who came up with Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If you believe that God doesn't expect us to obey everything that He has commanded us, that's something you'll have to take up with the Lord and not me. But I do know that just as it was with Noah, it takes patience, it takes time, and it takes effort to get to that point to where we obey the Lord fully. We learn more and more about how to please God. The more and more we study His Word, the more that we are around God's people, the more that we live out His Word. We all should be doing what God tells us and all of what God tells us, just like with Noah. And when we as Christians mess up and when we sin, we have a solution for that. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 says that when we sin, we can come back and confess our sin to God. We can repent of our sin and walk in the light once again. That's part of the commandments that we should obey as Christians. And just as it took faith for Noah to see a lot of things that he's never seen before, it takes a lot of faith from us to believe that God forgives us. None of us have actually seen God, as I talked about. And none of us have actually seen Him forgive our sins. That's a spiritual thing. But we can have faith that He does that. We can have faith in the unseen because His Word tells us. Because of the great love, because of the great mercy, because of the great grace of God, He has given us all the tools and instructions necessary to finish. But we need to make that effort. Are you making that effort this morning? Remember, Noah had an overflowing faith that finished. In conclusion, if you were in the place of Noah and God came to you speaking about all these detailed instructions on how to build this ark and about how this water was going to come out of the sky and it was going to flood the entire earth and about how all these things are going to die, how would you react? Would you put it off as a bunch of nonsense? Would you take a lot of time to contemplate what God said? Or would you immediately and instantly accept and believe God's instructions with full faith? You see, Noah, he is a wonderful character of faith in the Bible. There's so much that we can learn from not just his belief in God's words, but also in the fact that he put his belief into action. Noah had that faith that feared. Do you have that faith that fears? Noah had that faith that focuses. Do you have a faith that focuses? Noah had that faith that finishes. Are you living your life in a way to where you can finish the race, finish the faith? By God's grace, God has promised mankind that He will never flood this earth again in the way that He did in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. We don't have to worry about the earth opening up and the skies opening up and pouring down water for 40 days straight. But God has promised us that He will flood the earth again with fire, or He will flood the earth with fire, not again. As 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us. So looking back to the first deluge, just as the world overflowed with water, Noah's heart overflowed with faith. He prepared and prepared and prepared. He had a great obedient faith for an amount of time longer than many of us will live. Because of that, his family got to enter into a sinless world. It'd be quite incredible, wouldn't it? But God tells us that we can enter into a sinful or sinless world as well. Are you currently living your life with a faith like Noah's? Are you making great efforts to prepare yourself for that day of fire? Are you aiming to eventually get to live in a sinless world that we call heaven? If not, you can do that this morning. You can start this morning by building your spiritual ark. God tells us that we first need to hear His word, Romans 10, verse 17. Just as Noah listened to God's word, we can listen to God's word. God tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8, verse 24. That we need to repent of our sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. That we need to confess Jesus as the Christ, Matthew 10, 32 through 33. And that we need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins, which is an antitype of the flood, about Noah and his family being saved by water. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. God wants you to live a life overflowing with faith. If you're here this morning and you have any need whatsoever, please come as we stand and sing.